Genesis 29, 31 to 30, 24. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery, surely my husband will love me now." She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Because the Lord heard that I'm not loved, he gave me this one too." So she named him Simon. Again, she conceived, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Now at last my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him three sons." So he was named Levi. She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "This time I will praise the Lord." So she named him Judah. Then she stopped having children. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, "Give me children or I will die." Jacob became angry with her and said, "I'm in the place of God, who has kept you from having children?" Then she said, "Here is Bilhah, my maidservant. Sleep with her so that she can bear children for me, and that through her I too can build a family." So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife. Jacob slept with her, and she became pregnant and bore him a son. Then Rachel said, "God has vindicated me. He has listened to my plea and given me a son." Because of this, she named him Dan. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, "I've had a great struggle with my sister, and I have won." So she named him Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had stopped having children, she took her maidservant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, "What good fortune." So she named him Gad. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, "How happy I am. The woman will call me happy." So she named him Asher. During wheat harvest, Reuben went out into the fields and found some mandrake plants, which he brought to his mother Leah. Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son mandrakes." But she said to her, "Wasn't it enough that you took away my husband? Will you take my son's mandrakes too?" "Very well," Rachel said. "He can sleep with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes." So when Jacob came in from the fields that evening, Leah went out to meet him. "You must sleep with me," she said. "I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he slept with her that night. God listened to Leah, and she became pregnant and bore Jacob a fifth son. Then Leah said, "God has rewarded me for giving my maidservant to my husband." So she named him Issachar. Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, "God has presented me with a precious gift. This time my husband will treat me with honor, because I have borne him six sons." So she named him Zebulun. Sometime later, she gave birth to a daughter and named her Dinah. Then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and opened her womb. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son and said, "God has taken away my disgrace." She named him Joseph and said, "May the Lord add to me another son."
Good morning. Today we continue the series of God moves in mysterious ways about the life of Jacob. And today's topic is seen and remembered. What we just read is the creation of a big family. And just to have a picture in our head how a big family of 12 boys look like, it's like this. This is actually, I looked on the internet and tried to find a family with 12 kids, and I found a family with 12 boys. To me, this is, I have two boys. I would even struggle, I'm already struggling with mixing up the names of my two boys. So I call my oldest often Ryan, of the youngest I call Ian, while it's the other way around. So I can imagine if I have 12 boys, I will go crazy on the names. I would be mixing up them everywhere. Anyway, it is really a big family. And just to give you an impression on how big the family is that we just read about, all these sons that were born. Anyway, it's just as an introduction. Let's have a look at the people that were described in this story. And let's first have a look at Jacob and his wives. First, Leah. And we heard last week, Leah was the first daughter of Laban, and Laban, her father, tricked Jacob into marrying Leah. She was not beautiful. She was kind of left over. She was the firstborn, but no one married her. So Laban saw his chance and tricked Jacob into marrying Leah. If you read this story, that Jacob did not love Leah. Jacob loved Rachel, but not Leah. But Leah got all the children. So she got all the children, but she did not get the love of Jacob. And with Rachel, it's the other way around. Rachel was a beautiful girl. She was from the outside, a beautiful person, beautiful appearance, and she got all the love of Jacob. However, she was barren. She did not get any children, at least for a long time. She did not get any children. So she got all the love, but she got no children. Two other concubines, these were the servants of Leah and Rachel. They are also Jacob's wives. They also are involved, but we know nothing about them, just that they were also giving Jacob some children. So let's have a look at Jacob. To refresh our memory, Jacob is the son of Isaac, and Isaac is the son of Abraham, so it's a descendant of Abraham. Jacob loved Rachel, but he got Leah first. He loved Rachel so much that he worked for Rachel for 14 years just to marry her. So they married after 7 years of work, but he had to work for his father-in-law another 7 years to be allowed to marry Rachel. So that's a big love. And when I always have this story in mind, it's really romantic that a guy is working so long for his loved one. And then this Leah came in between, and I never had a kind of positive feeling about Leah. It was like Rachel, he wants to marry Rachel. That's it. That's the story. It's all about Rachel. She was like also beautiful in my heart. But now when I studied this, I swept a little bit. Actually, my heart moves more for Leah, and I will tell you why is that. But let's first have a look at all these sons. As you know, or may know, that this creation of this family is also kind of the creation of the Israelites, the 12 tribes of Israel are the sons of Jacob, almost. If you see, Leah got six sons: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. Levi does not have its own tribe. The Levites later will be the priests and the servants in the temple, so they will not have their own land. However, they are still a tribe. Zilpah got two sons, Gad and Asher. They are also two tribes and two pieces of land they got in the land of Israel. And Rachel, she got Joseph and Benjamin. Benjamin, we did not read in the story because Rachel will get Benjamin later. But I will still come back to that a little bit. Also, Joseph does not have its own land. Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, they got their land. And this was because the oldest son usually gets double the portion. So Reuben actually was the oldest son, but Reuben did something wrong later. So Jacob gave the double portion to the oldest of Rachel instead of the oldest of Leah. So Joseph got double portion. He got double the land. Ephraim and Manasseh, his sons, got two tribes. And then at the end, the last one, Bilhah, she gave Jacob also two sons, Dan and Naphtali. So what you see here is basically the creation of Israel. But Jacob himself later was called Israel. And you see here that his sons became the tribes of Israel. It's really the start of the Israelite people. It's really nice to know that this story, what we just read, is the creation of the Israelites. Okay, well, I want to focus on the two women, Leah and Rachel. And let's have a look at Leah. The first thing we see in the first verse we read, have a look, the first verse. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he enabled her to conceive. God saw Leah. Leah was seen by him. And we read in Matthew 10, verse 29 to 31, that God is always seeing us and taking care of us. And actually, we just sang it, the song. Yeah? Your eye is on the sparrow. Let's read in Matthew 10, verse 29 to 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them...
Hebben we het toch in de Bijbel gelezen. God...
Hans, you were, can you mute yourself? So let's read Matthew 10 verse 29 to 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet none of them will fall to the ground outside your father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. So God has his eye on us and he wants to take care of us. And he saw that Leah was in trouble. She was not loved by Jacob. She was in a terrible position, actually. She was tricked into marrying a guy who did not love her. So God still blesses her. He opens the womb of Leah, and she born Jacob many sons. And the names of her sons, they reveal the heart of Leah. And what you see that Leah is really struggling to gain the love of Jacob. And at that time, the biggest thing you could do as a woman was bore sons for your husband. That was like the biggest blessing. So Leah got six sons for Jacob. And if you see in the names of the sons that she gave to him, to them, you can see that the need and the struggle of Leah has. Reuben, the first name, it means he has seen my misery. And then the sentence is, let's read in chapter 29. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, it is because the Lord has seen my misery. And then, surely my husband will love me now. That's her focus. I want Jacob to love me. And in the second, but it didn't happen. In the second son she got, is called Simeon, the one who hears. That means the one who hears. And again, she's conceived again. And when she gave birth to a son, she said, because the Lord heard that I am not loved, still not loved. He gave me this one too. So she named him Simeon, the one who hears. And the third son that she got, Levi. She says at his birth, now at last my husband will become attached to me. See, that's her desire in all these three sons. She wants Jacob, please love me. See what I'm giving you. I'm giving you already three sons. Please love me. She hungered for the love of Jacob, but she didn't get it. So that was Levi. And then the fourth son, something changes in her heart. in the fourth son is Judah. And Judah actually is the forefather of Jesus. Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. So even and in this one, she does not look at her husband anymore. She says, now I just praise the Lord. That's what Judah means. There's no, I hope my husband will love me. No, just praise the Lord. Judah was a special child because he was the forefather of Jesus. So Leah learned to focus on God and not on her husband. And that's what I'm seeing in this, in these names. And then after that, Leah stopped receiving children. And then she gave her concubine, Zilpah, to Jacob. And that actually was a quite common tradition in that time. And we see it with Abraham and Sarah. Sarah could not receive children. So she gave her Hagar as wife to Abraham. So with this pattern that we see in these times, that was quite common. And she also, that also happened here. And Zilpah also gave two children to Jacob. However, Leah named them. And Leah named them Good Fortune and Happy. So she was getting happier and focused more on God than on the missing love of Jacob. And she got two more sons, Issachar and Zebulun. We read that in chapter 30. That's... And what you see here is after this break of these two other sons that she gave through Zilpah, the focus is a little bit back on the husband, because still the husband did not love her. So this is still a continuous struggle in the life of Leah. If you look at Issachar, let me have a look in Genesis 30, verse 17. God listened to Leah, and she became pregnant and bore Jacob a fifth son. Then Leah said, God has rewarded me for giving my servant to my husband. So again, about her husband. So she named him Issachar. And the sixth son, Leah conceived again in verse 19 and bore Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, God has presented me with a precious gift. This time, my husband will treat me with honor because I have borne him six sons. So she named him Zebulun. Zebulun means honor. So again, still she longs for appreciation and love from Jacob. It was still a struggle. After all these years, you need eight sons. So that is at least covers 8 years, but probably more. She was looking for the love of Jacob. And it was always a struggle between her and Rachel, because Leah got many sons. However, Rachel did not get any. So let's look at Rachel first. Actually, it may be that Leah got many other children. The daughters usually were not mentioned at that time. It was all about sons. But one daughter is mentioned. At least she got one daughter, Dinah. And Dinah plays a little bit of a role in the next chapters. So that's why I think she is mentioned here. But I do not know the meaning of the name, and it was also not mentioned what Leah said when Dinah was born. So the focus is on the sons, but she also got daughters. So let's have a look at Rachel. When we read in about Rachel, Rachel did not get any children in this whole series of sons that Leah got. But in the end, finally in chapter 30, verse 22, we read that Rachel was remembered by God. Let's read that. In the end of Genesis 30, verse 22, then God, finally, you would say, can God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and enabled her to conceive. And I tried to find out what is the time period that Rachel was barren. I couldn't find it. There are theories about between 15 and 26 years. For that long time, she could not receive children. So she had to wait for such a long time. And finally, God remembered her. And we read, so Rachel was remembered by God. In 30, verse 22, we read it. And there's a psalm also about barren women. Psalm 113, verse 9. He settles the barren woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. And that's what happened here. Finally, Rachel got pregnant. And we have, let's have a look at the names of the sons she is giving. First, she tried the same way as Sarah did with Abraham. She gave her servant Bilba to Jacob. And Bilba gave two sons to Jacob, Dan and Naphtali. And you see that this, what you see when you read about how Rachel responds to these sons, with Dan, she said, I'm finally justified. I deserve this child. Now it's finally God justified me. It's really a proud attitude. I deserved it. I want sons and I deserved it. So I got, it was not even her son, it was her servant's son. And Naphtali, we read that Rachel says that God heard her struggle with her sister. So Naphtali means struggle, because it's a struggle between her and her sister. Rachel was jealous on Leah, because Leah got all the kids. And then finally, in 30 verse 22, Rachel was remembered by God, and she bore a son named Joseph. And the first thing that pops in her mind when Joseph was born is that, may I have another one? Does not seem like extremely happy that she got one. She wants immediately another one. Joseph means may he add. So to me, the image of Rachel changed a little bit. I was always, as a child, I was in love with Rachel because she was beautiful. And she got this guy who worked 14 years for her. But when I read the attitudes of Rachel during this whole story, when I studied it, I felt more compassion for Leah than for Rachel. But you know, God felt compassion for both women. God does not choose favorites. God saw Leah's misery and she opened her womb. And God remembered Rachel. Rachel was waiting for so long and prayed to God, I think, many times for a child. And finally, Rachel was heard. Rachel received another son, but later. It's not in this chapter. And she called him Ben-Oni, son of distress, because the delivery was really difficult. And actually, in Genesis 35, we read that Rachel died delivering this son. Ben-Oni, it's the youngest one. Ben-Oni, we don't know his name very well, because Jacob, after the child was born and Rachel died, he renamed him to Benjamin. So what you see here is the struggle of Rachel. And her heart attitude was, especially in the beginning, proud. She deserved a son, and finally she got it, and she wanted another one immediately. Said, I want another son, and she got it, but not in a very pleasant way to say, because she died delivering the second son. So what can we learn from this? And I want again to look to Leah and Rachel. What can we learn from Leah? First of all, I think we can learn that God's plans are not influenced by appearance. Leah was not beautiful. There was really a comparison between the two, the not beautiful Leah and the beautiful Rachel. Leah also had bad eyes, probably. They are described as weak eyes. But God's plans do not depend on the beauty of people, on the outside beauty of people. We read in so they are not influenced, and We read in John 9, verse 2 to 3, something about why was Leah not beautiful? Why did God not create Leah beautiful? Why was she almost blind or bad eyes? I don't know exactly what was to describe. But in John 9, verse 2 to 3, we read a little bit about this, where Jesus is talking to his disciples, and his disciples ask him, Rabbi, who sinned? It was about a blind man. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And what we see in Leah is that the works of God are displayed in her. She got Judah. There she says, praise the Lord. And Judah is the forefather of Jesus. God's plans are not influenced by if someone is good looking or not. It does not matter at all to him. What matters is the heart. And we see that Leah's heart was difficult circumstances, but she focused on him. God is blessing a thankful heart. And Leah was thankful, especially when she received Judah. He says, praise the Lord. Leah learned to be thankful despite the circumstances, and she became a mother of 6 of the 12 tribes. And you know, Leah struggled for the love of Jacob. In the end, is that Jacob, when he died, he chose to be buried, not with Rachel, but he chose to be buried with Leah. We read it in Genesis 49. So in the end, I think Leah got the love of Jacob. It took a long, long time, but in the end, Jacob chose to be buried with the wife that was always with him, that bore him many sons. God blesses a thankful heart. So what can we learn from Rachel? Well, first of all, looking good does not mean you won't have trouble. Rachel was barren for many years. She was really a beautiful woman, and everyone say, yeah, you're so beautiful, you will have a wonderful life. But that was not the case. Rachel was barren for many years, and she was jealous despite of getting all the love of Jacob. She only focused on getting children, son. And we see many other stories in that, not many, but we several other stories. When I read about Rachel, I also thought about Elkanah and Hannah. Hannah is the mother of Samuel. And she was also barren for many years and was always sad. And then Elkanah also had 2 wives, but he loved Hannah the most. And Elkanah always said to Hannah, why do you struggle so much about sons? You know, I am the one who loves you the most. But also, Hannah was sad about not receiving children. And she prayed. And finally she got. Also, Hannah was remembered by God. But Rachel's attitude was a little bit different. She was very jealous. And you see, even she burst out in anger to Jacob. Give me children or I die. She was proud and angry. And looking good does not mean you won't have troubles in your life. But God remembers in his time all his children. And we see in Isaiah 30, verse 18, that God sometimes let us wait for a very long time. In Isaiah 30, verse 18, we read, therefore the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you. And therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. God remembers in his time, and in between the time, whatever we want, we put our desires with him, but God remembers in his time. And we read that. Blessed are those who wait for him. What we can also learn is that he is in control of giving children. You see that the story of the mandrakes that we also read in Genesis 30, that they tried to eat mandrakes because maybe they will give more chance to receive children, but does not help. God is in control of giving children. He opens and closes the womb. God remembers in his time when we want. When you want to have children, God remember you in his time. And not only that, Joseph also play a very important role. So Joseph, the first son of Rachel, plays a very important role in the future of the Israelites. Joseph, we will read that story, I think, also in this series, or maybe not. But Joseph would become a very powerful man in Egypt, and he would actually rescue his brothers from hunger. And that ensured the continuation of the Israelite people. So Joseph became a very powerful man, just like Leah bore Judah, which is the forefather of Jesus. Rachel bore Joseph, who became the rescuer of the Israelites in the future. One other lesson we can learn from Rachel is that you have to be careful what you wish for. Because Rachel wanted more children. She got one after waiting for many years. She finally received Joseph. And the first thing she wishes for is, I want another one. Be careful for what you wish for. Rachel got another one, but she died having her second child. She paid a big price for that. All right, my final slide for today is that God works in mysterious ways. We see it over and over again in the life of Jacob. And today, we focus on that God sees us. He does not see us through human eyes, but he sees us through his own eyes. He sees what we need. He sees and takes care of us in mysterious ways sometimes. But are we thankful for that? Are we thankful for that God is always taking care of us? Or do we focus on the circumstances? Like Leah, she was thankful, but also sometimes she focused on the fact that she was not loved by her husband. But in the end, she said, praise the Lord, when she got her fourth child. He also remembers us. And sometimes when we want something from him, maybe also here, there are moms or women who want to receive children, but they can't. God will remember us by letting us wait. And it is not a guarantee that you will get a child in the future, but we can always know that God remembers us. He will wait us to learn us lessons, to give us things that we can never imagine. I have a friend, and his wife, they are married for a long time, but she has a certain disease. That's why she cannot have children. So sometimes that makes her very sad. And she knows that she cannot have children, because if she gets pregnant, she will die because of her weak condition. That's no for sure. So they will not never have children. But God remembers her, and she gave other children that she can take care for, and that bring her happiness, children of family members, or that love to visit them. And so God takes care of her in other ways. And he always remembers her. That's also how she feels it. And that's for all of us. When we want something really bad, we put it in God's hands. God will remember us and will give us what we need. But are we patient? Or are we taking a matter in our own hands? Are we jealous for other people who get what we want, but we don't get it? Or are we waiting for God to remember us? God sees us. And he remembers us. And I think that's what we should take away from this story. That God is in control. He works in sometimes in mysterious ways in our lives. And maybe we won't always get what we exactly want, but he will give us what we need. And that's what he means by that he will remember us. Let us pray together. Father God, I want to thank you, Lord, for being there, in control. Lord, and you work sometimes in ways that we don't understand. But we know for sure, Lord, that you see us. We are not invisible to you. You see us, you see our struggles, you see our needs, Lord. Help us to be thankful for that and not focus on the circumstances. Lord, and you remember us. We have needs, Lord, and sometimes we think we deserve something or we want something, and we bring it to you, Lord. But you know our real needs, and you will remember us, and you will remember to give it to us someday. Lord, help us to be patient, and help us not to look at other people and feel jealous, but help us to know that you will remember us in your time. You see us and remember us. Thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.